WLAK 1260 AM Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. President Zelensky publicly criticizing President Biden at the NATO summit for opposing Ukraine's membership into NATO. ABC's Elizabeth Schulze is at the summit in Lithuania.
Despite President Zelensky's criticism, National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan tells me that the meeting here with President Biden is an opportunity to highlight how the U.S. is the leading partner with Ukraine in its fight against Russia, providing critical military and economic support.
Several hundred water rescues in flooded areas of Vermont. A dam near Montpelier is close to overflowing. Forecasts calling for more rain. Record hot weather for millions from California to Florida. It was the 12th day of over 110 degree temperatures in Phoenix. The record is 18 days.
Who are we?
Jesus!
Who are we?
Jesus!
Teamsters is the answer, they shouted. Dozens of UPS workers and members of a Teamsters union practicing picketing outside a San Francisco facility just in case there is a strike. This is ABC News. Israel's parliament gave preliminary approval to controversial judicial reforms that were proposed by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's conservative government. That move sending thousands of Israelis protesting in the streets.
Anti-government protests here in Israel continuing across the country as night falls. Here in Jerusalem, thousands still in front of parliament, where Monday a bill to limit judicial oversight passed its first reading. In Tel Aviv, a sea of blue and white Israeli flags stretching across the city on Kaplan Street, some blocking traffic on the Ayalon Highway. Earlier in the day, police kept 10,000 demonstrators from storming the halls of Ben-Gurion International Airport. Jordana Miller, ABC News, Jerusalem.
Following an all-senators briefing on artificial intelligence, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said the technology presents security worries.
The briefing was really eye-opening. It showed the enormity of the task ahead of us.
Andy Field, ABC News.
Hey, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at BelongingBeginsWithUs.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup.
That's awesome.
Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom Hankrut. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. This summer, things are heating up on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Bales.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, any cut deeper.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. And we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You're right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Development Institute in Minneapolis.
Hey, you know, since you've been talking in the right side of that microphone, Haley, you sound like a million bucks.
Well, that's what we're going for, so that's good.
Awesome. Hey, it's a Tuesday here, and we love to hear from up in the deep north, as we like to call it, because there's so many strange things happening up there, but also some positive things happening up there. And thinking of positive, we have Nancy Bolio of MN350 stopping in and giving us an update in a good way what's happening up in the deep north. Welcome, Nancy. Ho-wa.
Bonjour. Thinking of good things, Robert, I want to share my cup here. It says, do good.
Right on.
And, you know, honestly, that made me think about not just doing good, but being good. You can do something, take an action, and it looks like you're a good person, but on the other side of things, you're not so good. And it creates a lot of harm. And I think, you know, as Indigenous people, that's not our way. Our way is to uplift each other and support each other in the work that we do, in the spaces that we share. So I want to remind our relatives and even our allies that when we're here in this journey called life, we're supposed to walk with a good heart and show up with good intentions. And if you forget how to do that, you need to step back and do some self-reflection and do a little praying for yourself. And we'll pray for you too. But yeah, I think it's really important that we get back to that because, you know, we are in a world where there's so many injustices and we shouldn't fight amongst ourselves. We should be building each other up and getting back to that resiliency we once had, you know, before this colonized system assimilated us and put us in a lot of dark places. So, you know, this is one reason why I do this work, because I believe in us and we're here. And I think there's a lot of good work to do. And I'm just, you know, really excited that I can do what I do. And again, for those of you that don't know who I am, I'm Nancy Beaulieu. I'm from the Leech Lake Reservation in northern Minnesota, and I've been the northern organizer for Minnesota 350 for just about 6 years. And we are a nonprofit for environmental and racial injustice, and I lead the treaty work at Minnesota 350.
Yes, yes. And what I really like to do, and then I'd like to backtrack a little bit too, because we always have new listeners jumping in their car, especially now we're at 5 o'clock and we're getting people jumping in their car and listening to us in their car. Just to basically what you do and talk a little bit about treaties. And I've learned from you so much about treaties. I know Ho-Chunk signed the 1855 treaty back in the day, and this is like Ho-Chunk land. And there's things out there with these treaties that a lot of people don't understand. And what I really learned about from you is that the treaties work both ways.
Right. You know, treaties intended for us to live in peace. They're you know, treaties of friendship. And there's so many reasons why we have to understand why treaties matter. And that's a big part of, you know, the spaces that we create, or, you know, even breathing life back in those treaties by holding spaces like a sugar bush or, you know, on a pipeline easement. But yeah, treaties, they're very much alive today as the day they were signed. And again, they were meant for friendship and peace and to leave the earth in a better way than we found it. And, you know, I like to keep to the layman's terms of what those treaties are, you know, because there's so many of them, Robert, and treaties mm-hmm. are a mile long, some of them. And what we want people to really think about is just the basic understanding. And if you want to dive in more, you could visit us at Minnesota 350 on our treaty page. And we have a number of resources that they can really do a deep dive and learn more about the treaties and why they're important, even to this day. So again, we're out there reminding people because we don't see it in our history books. It's part of our Treaty 101 awareness. And quite honestly, Robert, I want to share something, you know, talking about, you know, the lack of history and those truths. Mm-hmm. I actually wrote a piece for our newsletter for the week of July 4th, the United States Independence Day. And I want to share that writing with you guys right now, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Okay. We are the people on the other side of history you don't hear from. In the spirit of America, we must do justice to history. After all, the sovereignty of the United States was gained from signing treaties with indigenous tribes. Indigenous refers to those people with pre-existing inherent sovereignty who were living together as a community prior to the contact with settler populations, most often referred to as the Europeans. Treaties between the federal government and the American Indian tribes set forth the duties and responsibilities of the U.S. government, which they still owe to us to this particular day. And those are in exchange for, you know, land and resources. Treaties mm-hmm. protect land boundaries and inherent rights of the indigenous peoples, such as hunting, fishing, gathering, and traveling rights. Treaties also guarantee peace. Today, treaties continue to affirm the inherent sovereignty of American Indian Nation, enable tribal governments to maintain a nation-to-nation relationship with the United States government to manage their lands, their resources, and economies. And it also protects their people, and it builds a more secure future for generations to come. So again, Robert, it's a shared responsibility, those treaties mm-hmm. and you know, those non-native peoples, their ancestors signed those treaties with our ancestors. And if their house, their business are on these lands, they are still benefiting from those treaties that their ancestors signed with our ancestors. So we're here holding them accountable to those obligations.
Yeah. And I think the more we talk about it, it's really interesting, too, that I think, you know, let me just back up a second. I never learned anything about treaties when I went to school. And right. I've only learned about treaties maybe the last 6 years, one, listening to you, but also, you know, that our native people had all these treaties and then were pushed out of their land anyways. And so it's a real gray zone, but I'm glad that MN 350, and especially you, Nancy, have been really revving up and talking treaties. I know we have a few groups that have jumped on lately, but you and MN350 really jumped on it first, and I thought it was brilliant to talk about treaties, and especially when we're dealing with pipelines and such.
Right. And, you know, and that's our goal when we talk about Treaty 101 awareness, and when we hold spaces like in the Sugar Bush and on the pipeline and wherever it be in the future, it is our goal to inspire other relatives to assert those treaties, because what good are those treaties if we don't assert them? I mean, honestly, when you take a look at the Sugar Bush, they were ready to go and do a clear cut. And, you know, their excuse is, well, nobody's out there sugar bushing. Well, again, you know, that's not our fault. We were assimilated and we were forced into a 40-hour week. We forgot our way. It's not our fault. But, you know, we're reminding ourselves that we're still here along with that culture that defines who we are.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, Nancy, really good update on the treaties. I want to talk about what's going up on the Deep North here in the next segment, if you can hold on with us.
Sure, would love to.
Awesome. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm woke, you know. Oh, wow. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Attention, Native American community. We've come a long way in our fight against COVID-19. The emergency declaration may be over, but our responsibility to stay vigilant remains. It is crucial to remember that the virus is still among us, and we must continue to prioritize our health and the well-being of our loved ones and elders. Besides getting vaccinated, let's not forget the basics when we're around people who are still vulnerable to COVID-19. Wear your mask, wash your hands regularly, and take an at-home COVID-19 test if you have any symptoms. We've shown incredible strength and resilience throughout history, and we will triumph over this challenge as well. Let's honor our ancestors by taking care of one another and keeping our communities safe. Together, let's navigate uncertain times with courage and unity. Stay informed, stay safe, and remember that our actions today will shape a brighter future for our Native community. Find more tips on continuing to be safe at health.state.mn.us.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Minnesota 350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Climate justice, that's right. Hey, we're here with Nancy Bolio, and I love that tagline, fighting for climate justice. Welcome. We're talking to Nancy. We talk to Nancy a lot we've talked to you a lot over the years, and there's reason to be positive. You got a lot of work going on up there, and in a good way, and I think that's something that I can always count on with you, Nancy, and also, you know, with MN350, too.
Right. You know, just in this last week, I had my first opportunity to get back out and table, Robert, and I was went up to Red Lake and for their Independence Day on July 6th and participated in a parade with the DFL party, reminding them as well that we're all treaty people. Mm-hmm. And then with the parade, we went down to the powwow and set up a table, why treaties matter. And Robert, it's so inspiring and so empowering to be able to communicate to people who we are, what we do, and why we do what we do. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, think that asserting their rights to hunt, fish, gather, and travel in ceded territory, meaning off the reservation, is a crime, when indeed it's not. You know, like my good friend Justin Keiser would say, the treaties are constitutional. They're written right in there, Article 6. And so they are supreme law of the land. And as, you know, Native folks to these lands, we have every right to, you know, go out, hunt, fish, and gather in ceded territory, just like we did in the Sugar Bush. And so I think that's important for people to understand that, you know, a big part of what we do is we assert our treaties, and we do it in a positive way. We do it to educate not just our people, but our elected officials and our community members, our allies, you know, and our relatives. And, you know, to Camp Firelight and then the Sugar Bush, I think we are a fine example of how you can show up and assert those treaties and remind our elected officials, our not so friendly neighbors, that we have a right to exist. We have a right to be who we are.
Yeah. Remind people, and I think it's been a couple of years now, what Camp Firelight did and what it was about, because you know, I like to come back and get new listeners and remind our other listeners what that was about, because we refer to that once in a while. Can you just give a quick synopsis of that great action?
'93, during the construction in the Mississippi wetlands, just, you know, close to my reservation here in northern Minnesota, actually in the 1855 treaty territory, Line 3 construction was basically only 7 miles from the headwaters of the Mississippi, and it's really not a good place to put a pipeline underneath a wetland, not anywhere actually. But so what we did is we called on our relatives and our allies to occupy the easement on the Line 3 construction, and our goal was to hold space collectively as allies, Native and non-Native people, and show the rest of the world what it looks like to honor those treaties collectively, peacefully, so we can create a future that we can all thrive in for many generations to come. And the big part about that, Robert, was the Clearwater County Treaty Summit. We did a summit, a one-day summit, and we called on their Clearwater County, you know, the city council, the commissioners, law enforcement. And we basically did a Treaty 101 and reminded them that we have these rights and they're protected under treaty. And these are inherent rights. They didn't give us nothing, Robert. Sometimes they think, you know, go back to your reservation. They think they gave us land or they gave us the rights. And in fact, that's a huge misconception. We gave those colonizers rights and we gave them land in return to be good to us. And so that's why it's important that when we went to Camp Firelight on the Line 3, that we called on our allies and showed what that treaty relationship should look like. And it was 8 days. We had the sheriff from Clearwater County support the camp, because, you know, after that treaty summit, he had a clear understanding of, you know, our treaty rights and who we are and how to be a good treaty person. So again, you know, kind of do the same thing here in Beltrami County this fall, and I'm excited about it. So at Camp Firelight, we won our case. I'm one of three Anishinaabe defendants that took our case into our own tribal court. And so we proved in our own tribal court at the 1855 treaty court that the state of Minnesota lacks subject matter jurisdiction over the Anishinaabe protecting their natural resources on or off the reservation. And that's really key, that off part, because that's that ceded territory where they think that we need state permits to go hunt, fish, travel, and gather. We don't need any permit. We have those rights. And that's what treaties protect.
Right. And, you know, I'm always interested in, and I think sometimes I think about treaties and I think about the Black Hills land claim by the United States, and then the United States and the, you know, if you Google that, it has all the treaties that were on there. And, you know, 1851 Fort Laramie Treaty, the 1868 Fort Laramie Treaty. And then also the government wanted to give the Great Sioux Nation money And it's in the bank, and I think it's up to $1 billion right now. And they never took the money because you can't sell land like that, sacred land.
Right. We don't have property rights, Robert. We don't view, property rights as this is my land and everything and anything on it is mine. We have relationship rights, and those are with the plants and the animals. And, you know, we're here in a sacred way, Robert. And again, you know, when this country continues to deny those treaties and that's a violation of, you know, those treaties and our rights. And it's just continued genocide, and you can't put it any other way, Robert. And we shouldn't sugarcoat, you know, the facts here. And I think it's time that the United States honors those treaties. And, you know, I tell non-native people that really don't want to understand or refuse to understand that they have an obligation. Well, I just tell them in a good way, Robert, well, y'all can just build another Mayflower and head on back.
Yeah. And that's no kidding. And yeah. I think what's important too is not only are we talking about this, but again, you never hear that. I've never heard this in schools. I vaguely knew what a treaty was. I thought of possibly World War II when I thought of treaties, and that's ridiculous.
Right. And, you know, again, this country would not be a sovereign nation without signing those treaties with, you know, Native nations. And again, mm-hmm. I think this country needs to be awoke itself and understand how this country became, you know, because again, right. It was out of our trust and our offering of friendship, and they deceived us, and they still continue to do that today. And I think that's why it's more important that, you know, we find strength in each other, be good to each other, build community, and find that resiliency and breathe life back into those treaties. And we also not do that amongst ourselves.
Right. You know, and I think the treaties, well, let me just say this. We're still here, and we've been trying to get genocide out of this country so people could take over our land, whether it's with oil pipelines, whether it's with oil out of the ground or in the air and the minerals and all those things. But we're still here. And I think us talking about this in a good way and educating people, because we're not going anywhere. And we've been here 10,000 years.
Right, right. And again, you know, before it slips my mind, I want to give a shout out to the allies that understand that, you know, they too are treaty people, and they mm-hmm. are showing up in a good way and having conversations with other non-Native people. And again, without, you know, the support of our allies and some, you know, nonprofits out there like MN350, Sierra Club, Indian Collective, IN, that's Indigenous Environmental Network, and some of our tribes as well, we wouldn't be where we're at right now in the spaces that we hold in the work that we do. And a lot of our work also involves political work and building those relationships with the elected officials and holding their feet to the fire. But, you know, back again, Robert, it's about democracy, and we vote for change. And we've seen that with that trifecta here, you know, in Minnesota. The more mm-hmm. we show up, the more candidates that we get on our side, we're going to have the majority vote where it matters.
Right.
And that's where it starts, you know. So again, when we're out tabling, Robert, we talk about building our power, not just treaty style, but in the world of voting.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's coming up quick again. And, you know, we work with Make Voting a Tradition here on Native Roots Radio, and Rock the Vote Native Style we've done over the years. It's really important, and we need to, and to keep getting our Native people involved, you know. And I just always, and Haley's Gen Zer is just throwing out, Gen Zer gets it. And we're really excited that, and they don't get polled. So you see these polls and everything, and it's like, it's not a real thing, because, you know, they're not doing, you know, polling Gen Zs. They're not polling people like us that look like us. And I just, before we get going here, I just want to give a quick shout out to Alice and give her some, she said some really great stuff here and listens to our show. As an ally, it is a massive honor to be a treaty person. And I just want to give her a quick shout out and get healing prayers to Alice too.
Right. She's my Facebook friend, and I'm so excited one day to meet her in person. And again, I want to give a shout out to people just like her that, you know, listen to the show and support the work that we do. And again, if you're willing about to help what we do, you can go to MN350 and donate and be a part of what we do and show up when we ask.
Nancy, we always talk about before the show, we don't have much to talk about, but I know we always do. And thank you so much for coming on and reminding people of us and treaties and where we're at.
Right. We are all treaty people.
Ooh, that was a good. We'll have-
this summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom and Crude. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Lionel Moyes. Dangerous record-breaking heat continues nationwide.
There are 13 states on alert. A place like Phoenix that made it to its 12th day of 110 plus. People say, come on, it's summer. Phoenix does this all the time. It looks like they will go and surpass 18 days in a row, which is a record. Goes back about a century.
ABC's Ginger Z. Republicans are being pressed to respond to an Alabama senator's apparent defense of white nationalists.
Republican Tommy Tuberville denying white nationalists are racist.
I'm totally against racism. And if the Democrats want to say that white nationalists are racist, I'm totally against that too.
But that's not a Democratic definition. The definition of a white nationalist
is someone... Well, that's your definition.
Today, his Republican Senate leader, Mitch McConnell, responded.
White supremacy is simply unacceptable in the military and in our whole country.
Andy Field, ABC News.
Bank of America has been ordered to pay more than $100 million to customers for double charging accounts with insufficient funds. This is ABC News.
Spilled your drink? Quick, the quicker picker upper. Bounty picks up spills quicker. And each sheet is 2 times more absorbent, so you can use less than the leading ordinary brand. So, you can get back to your night. Bounty, the quicker picker upper.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
What is the grand prize? Is it a fabulous cash prize?
You definitely get to take home the cheese. I know that.
I hope so. Humans aren't necessarily logical creatures. Maybe it is.
Thrill-seeking.
It's the thrill of the cheese and the bragging rights.
The first person across the line wins and gets to keep the cheese.
And that's it.
And I think that's it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Tom from Madtown. Welcome, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Heard you talking about Robin Boss, so I called Robin Boss's office and said, yeah, why is DEI so dangerous? And nothing. The guy just stopped talking. I said, hello, are you there? I called him back, and the phone got picked up, and then they didn't say anything. You know, maybe you'll learn something if you listen to The Devil's Advocate.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
The Todd Alba Show.
I've been pretty rough on the Joint Finance Committee. I know you're going to give bipartisan praise that you're going to raise the pay for district attorneys and public defenders. You don't get an attaboy for finally saying, we finally heard people cry uncle enough times. You either govern all the time or not once a decade when it's suddenly convenient. So,
but I think we have to at least give people hope once in a while that there is something to happen.
Replace those appliances? Don't miss Warner Stallion's lowest prices of the season. Score instant savings, then up to 10% off. And a bonus for each additional appliance you buy. Put us to the test at warnerstallion.com.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. Hey, we have on the phone Robert Blake and with the Solar Bear with the Solar News. Robert, welcome.
Hey, what's going on, Robert? How's it going?
It's going great. And I hear rumors you're outside ready to get a happy haircut. Is that true?
Yeah, you got me going into my haircut place. I know.
Yeah. Well,
you know what, Robert? I was just thinking about, you know, because I'm out here at the mall, mm-hmm. and I'm starting to see just more and more like electric vehicles driving around. And I'm also seeing some of these malls are putting renewable energy on top of their roofs, solar.
Yeah. And I'm seeing those charging stations too, all over the place now too.
Yeah. I'm over by one right now, and I'm looking at it right now, and it's charge point. I can read it. It's charge point.
Wow.
But I mean, can you imagine, Robert, like where all this is going to be, like, say, let's just say in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's really becoming mainstream, and it's becoming a part of our lives. And I don't think anyone could have seen how the public has taken hold or like acceptance of renewable energy, electric vehicles, charging stations. You know what I mean? It's just happening.
I got a quick question in those lines, and we've never really talked about this, but with all the AI stuff, how much faster is that going to help renewable?
You know, that's a good question. You know, and what's happening right now is there's, you know, there are groups being put together that are going to tackle these kinds of questions about, you know, what kind of agreements, what kind of treaties, what kind of, way of like looking at, you know, how AI is going to be kind of rolled out, right? Like, mm-hmm. how are countries going to deal with this, and then what kind of agreements can they make now, you know, about artificial intelligence and how this is going to be implemented in our society, right? Because this is, it's like scary,
mm-hmm.
but then it's like, you know, this is just all a part of our evolution as a society, right?
Right. And let's use this for the good of the world and mankind, and not end up like an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. Oh,
right. Yeah. Yeah. What is that called? Netscape or whatever? Like, I forgot what it was called again. I forget my Terminator terminology right now.
I think the first Terminator. Right. Exactly. And I'm just, I just typed in a certain website, free website. I said, Native radio show, intro. And it popped out, I want to say 400 words in 2 seconds, and literally, I could have read that.
Yeah, Robert, you were a teacher. Like, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but you were a public school teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, can you imagine, Robert, now these students being able to put in this chat GPT, write up papers, and then turning them in? I mean, are educators going to be able to, like, you know, understand, like, this wasn't their work? Or right. You know what I mean? Like, those kinds of things. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know either. I would have got straight A's is all I know. Or A pluses if they were giving them out. What the heck?
Right? I mean, it's just crazy to think about. And it, you know, I as we go further and further into this, you know, artificial intelligence is going to be a big part of renewable energy and how it's being distributed, where it's going to be used at. You know, there's going to be a home that, say, they're just going to be watching a TV, so they're going to have an excess supply of energy there. And it's just going to be redistributed over across the block to the school that's hosting the evening high school basketball game. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, artificial intelligence is going to do that, you know, and it's going to make our grid a lot smarter, a lot more reliable. But, you know, with I think those benefits are going to come this negative piece where, you know, are we teaching it to, like, think for itself? You know what I mean? Are we, is that's what I think people are scared of. Is it going to become self-autonomous? You know what I mean? Like, is it going to start, you know, thinking for itself and like you said, do the whole Terminator thing.
Right. And that's already happened. And I guess I don't want to get deep into this. We'll have to do our own AI show soon, Robert. But I have heard reports, whether it was on 60 Minutes, that they are starting to rationalize and think for themselves. So it's already happening. It's a matter of watching it and controlling it. And I don't know if the genie's out of the bottle now, but I do believe using this in a good way is really going to help, like you said, renewable energy.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's always the yin and there's always the yang, right? You've got the good and there's always the bad. Right. The problem that I see in this is that if we're already having hackers break into our computer systems already, what's that going to look like if we have artificial intelligence, you know, being the gatekeeper, but then also being able to infiltrate other systems? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that's where I'm kind of like drawing the line at. Like, I think that we need to have agreements between countries, between governments. We need to have agreements between, let's be honest, Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, and Elon Musk. Right. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, these people need to have some type of, you know, rules to the game, because if they don't, then, you know, like you said, the genie gets out of the bottle and we're you know, it's blasting off nuclear weapons, you know, across the entire planet, because they think that the artificial intelligence thinks that we're going to, you know, commit equal suicide.
Right.
Which in some respects we're doing, you know what I mean, with our way of life.
Absolutely. And, you know, to get in deeper, too, we... You know, there's people were shooting off fireworks and there was a big fire here. And because everything's so dry and because, you know, we had flooding in the beginning of the beginning of spring. And now I can count on one hand how many times it's rained a little bit since then. And everything's dry. And so we need to really become more proactive. And like you said earlier in the show, people are jumping onto it. I remember, what was it, 2 years ago, Robert, that the Ford F-110 went sold out immediately for the new electric cars. Well, we needed the manufacturers and the government to support this to get more of that out there and bring the price down, too.
Yeah, absolutely, Robert. And I think that right there brings me up to like some great stories here that are currently happening, you know, around the country.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, nationwide electric vehicle charging infrastructure is designed to meet 30 to 42 million light duty electric vehicles by 2030. Think about that.
Wow.
Robert.
Wow.
42 million electric vehicles the infrastructure is now being set up across this country to meet 42 million electric vehicles by 2030.
Wow. That's awesome. And that's quick. That's going to be soon.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, and here's another interesting fact too, Robert. The fastest growing jobs are in the renewable energy industry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's crazy to think about, you know, that it's outpacing, you know, it's outpacing the fossil fuel industry.
Mm-hmm.
It's outpacing healthcare. I mean, this is how fast, this is what the Inflation Reduction Act did. I mean, we're already on a trajectory to, you know, to make this transition anyway, right?
Right.
But with the Inflation Reduction Act and the Biden administration implementing this piece of legislation has put this industry on steroids, and it is just taking over mm-hmm. the country right now
mm-hmm.
with jobs. Manufacturing, Robert, is now coming back to the shores of the United States. Manufacturing jobs are at an all-time high now also.
Yes.
That are being driven by the renewable energy industry.
That deserves a big round of applause, because this is the new generation of energy and a new paradigm shift in the economy too.
Yeah, and it's incredible, because, you know, even the big unions, right, the United Auto Workers, right,
mm-hmm.
Are looking at this year's contract negotiations as a really, really important opportunity, you know, to ensure that they have representation, you know, for future electric vehicle jobs. You know, they weren't worried about electric vehicles a couple of years ago,
right? Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But now the United Auto Workers, Robert, the United Auto Workers, one of the biggest unions, mm-hmm. one of the, you know, I mean, they are a staple of this country, are ensuring that in this next year's negotiations, that they have a place, and they are going to be negotiating around the table the future of electric vehicles. They're not just worried about their workers. They're worried about, where is this industry going, and yeah. how are we going to keep our people, you know, in it and relevant, right?
Yeah.
I just think that's incredible, you know, that before it was just about having a job. Now it's about, okay, how do we keep these electric vehicles continuously being made? How do we continue to source the materials that are going to be used for these vehicles? And then how do we keep on, you know, being relevant and being a part of this industry?
Robert, that's
gangbusters right now.
Let's take a quick break. We know we have more news from the Solar Bear with the Solar Bear News, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Your Blue Line Extension Project wants to hear from you. We are working on extending the Blue Line Light Rail into North Minneapolis, Robbinsdale, Crystal, and Brooklyn Park, and connecting it to our growing transit system. Tell us about your neighborhood, your business, your family, and what you need from your Blue Line. Learn more and share more of your story at yourblueline.org. That's yourblueline.org.
Hey, this is Robert Pilot. I taught in St. Paul Public Schools for over 25 years, and I want you to join the team and make a difference in our children's future. Right now, St. Paul Public Schools is offering hiring and retention bonuses up to $10,000 for a variety of teaching and classroom support positions for the next school year. Grow in a supportive and fulfilling public school setting. Limited bonuses are available, so don't delay. Apply at spps.org/careers. Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org.
Let's live and let howl.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How? How? I heard Robert Blake. He's getting fired up for his haircut. His howling haircut coming up there. Hey, we're this is Native Roots Radio, and here we're with Robert Blake of the Solar Bear with the Solar News, and we've been talking about some really positive things here. Robert, just let me know when you have to go. I see it's 10 till 6, and I know you have a 6:05 appointment. We don't want you to miss that.
Yeah. Hey, Robert, can I just give you the statistics, though, on these jobs and all these things happening real quick?
Yeah,
I just want to read out some statistics to you. Okay. The energy sector added 300,000 jobs this last year, 7.8 million total energy jobs in 2021 to over 8.1 million in 2022. Now, though the energy sector was deeply impacted by COVID-19, it's recovered 71% of the jobs lost in 2020. That's huge, Robert.
Wow.
That just goes to show how resilient the renewable energy sector is being right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the technologies, right? So we're talking about wind. Wind is up 20%. Grid modernization is up 12%. Hydrogen fuel vehicles, Robert, is up 25%.
Whoa.
Natural gas vehicles are up 14%, and plug-in hybrid vehicles are up 10%. Employers across all technologies are optimistic about the growth from 2022 to 2023. Mm. Now, real quickly, the clean energy technologies are making significant strides. So this is like solar, wind, all that. It's 80% of new electric power generation jobs, adding 229 jobs, up 3.6%. Clean energy jobs, Robert, increased in every state 3.8% nationally. So meaning even in Republican states, everybody, jobs are up in clean energy 3.8%. Can we get Republicans on board, Robert, for this? We are putting American people to work in the clean energy industry.
Yeah.
Battery electric vehicles increased by 29,000 jobs. Clean vehicles accounted for 59% of all new jobs in the motor vehicle industry, Robert.
Hmm.
In the motor vehicle industry, 59%. The future of energy industry is for everyone. The number of women working increased by 150,000. 150,000
wow.
women are now working in the clean energy industry, Robert. That is up from 2022.
Dang.
A quarter of the energy workforce are non-white workers. So BIPOCs are representing 23% of the energy workforce. Veterans are making of a 9%. Of the new energy workforce, up 5%, and energy employees is employing American unions. Get this, Robert.
Hmm.
This is my last statistic. I'm telling you, union employers are more than twice as likely than non-union employees, 46% to 22% respectively, and it is more diverse with LGBTQ hires. In transmission and distribution, and solar, the percentage of workers represented by union are covered under our collective bargaining agreement. It's up 11%, over 1.5 times the rate of the private sector.
Wow.
That means that energy is taking care of union and organized labor, everyone.
That's huge.
That's what that is saying. These statistics are on the Department of Energy website. You can go ahead and take a look at it. The solar bear is not making these statistics up, everyone. You can go and take a look at them, and they're all for you to read and see. And it's just incredible, Robert, where this industry is headed, where this is going. And you know, we just need to continue to push this. All of us need to get behind. We need to elect officials that are going to represent the people and think about the future, the next seven generations, like representatives like you, Robert, because you are an elected official, mm-hmm. and you're representing your community, your nation, and we need to elect people like you, Robert.
Well, I appreciate that. And I just want to give you, I know you got to get going, I just want to give you a quick shout out too of all the work you're doing in Indian country, and especially here, I mean, all over, but I know of a couple projects that you're doing here in Minnesota with a couple tribes, and I don't know how much you can talk about it, but I do know that, and other people are watching what you're doing here for in a good way for our communities out here, so I just got to give you a big ho-wa.
Well, I want to say to everybody, Solar Bear just finished up the McGeezy Project. It's on Lake Street. Right across the street there from the cemetery, Lake and Cedar. Mm. It's the new McGeezy building. They're gonna have an open house in October, but the solar project is done. You can drive by it. It looks beautiful.
Wow.
I'm so proud of that project and all the work that McGeezy does with the Native community and mm-hmm. the kids. They do such a wonderful job, and we were just really happy to be a part of that whole thing, and send a big shout out to Kelly Drummer
yeah.
and all the great work that she does there with her staff over there.
Absolutely.
They do a wonderful job with the kids and the community.
And I just got to say this real quick about McGeezy. McGeezy's been around for a long time, and they started as a way for college students to learn mass media, whether they were on TV or the radio and the news, and they've been just growing and been around. They've been around since the 70s, Robert.
I know, that's incredible. And I was just really proud and thankful that Kelly asked me to be a part of this project in their new building, because their old building got burnt down during the civil unrest,
yep.
you know?
Yeah.
And so this building is beautiful. They did a wonderful job there, and the kids are really going to be, they're just going to be loving this building, Robert. And I was just really happy to be a part of it, to be a part of what they're doing there with the community, and super excited. Also, I should say real quickly, Solar Bear just finished up another project up in Red Lake Nation at the OG Center. That center right there is there to be able to serve the elderly population in the community. And that was Sherry Goodwin mm-hmm. and all the wonderful work she did there and all the wonderful work she does in the community too. So a couple of big shout outs there to Sherry and Kelly Drummer. They're doing such wonderful work in our community, Robert.
Absolutely. And it takes a tribe, it takes a village. And, I want to say again, Peeny Gigi for helping out these organizations and always coming on in a positive way here in Native Roots Radio and giving these news flashes. I feel like we've grown along with you and along with the solar community are all around the same time.
Well, I just want to say too, Robert, that you've helped Solar Bear grow. You've helped Native Sun grow. And I mean, I owe a lot of my success and a lot of the things that I've been able to do, Robert, to you. And you've been just like a big brother to me. You were my big brother's one of his best friends growing up. So,
yeah.
you know, it stands to reason that, you know, that I'm around you. So, be good, Robert. It's just the best to be around you
wow.
and have you be in my life.
Great, great point. And then we have to make a trip again to the next presidential, Native presidential caucus and do it up. So thanks again, Robert. Go get a haircut. Really appreciate you and what you do for the community and for Mother Earth, really.
And that's the solar news with the Solar Bear.
Right on, Robert. We'll speak to you soon and
okay,
have a
bye.
Great day. We don't say goodbye on our way. Ho! Hey.
Later.
That's awesome. Hey, awesome show again, Haley. Hope you're feeling good. Hope you're feeling better. I know you're a little down, but I appreciate you so, so much being here with me and running the background and setting up all these shows. I couldn't do the show without you.
Oh, absolutely. I'm feeling much better now getting to hear from our friends Nancy and Bob and hearing all
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago, and that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
The most elitist scorn towards average people exists within sort of that conservative far-right ecosystem.
We're a couple of dudes who used to be Republicans. We were Dwight Eisenhower, Ronald Reagan, Tommy Thompson, Scott Klug Republicans. This Republican Party you got now with Robin Voss and Devin Lemieux, the Republican Party at the top, want to start banning books, for God's sake.
Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
ABC News, I'm